Good morning, everyone. This morning, we have our wonderful mentor, former senior pastor, district supervisor, Pastor Alex Pacheco, giving the message. And he, you know how you have like your spiritual fathers? He's like my spiritual father. He pointed me to Jesus and invested so much in me. And if he did not do that, then I don't think we'd be here today. I talk about him a lot because he has meant so much to me in my spiritual life. He has taught me valuable lessons. He pointed me down the right path. Always encouraged me, always loved me. And I used to sit beside him on Sundays at New Hope Hilo serving him. And that was like the best years of my life. And then when I left, you know, I was really sad because he's not only your mentor, but he's your good friend. And then a few years later, God brought him here. And I was like, wow, I get to serve Jesus with my mentor. And not many people can say that. And, you know, I thank you so much, Pastor Alex. You loved me so much, and I am so grateful. Would you welcome Pastor Alex?
Good morning. Good morning. You know, Pastor Scott never told you this story. I took him up to, it was in Chicago, and 15 below zero, we were in that kind of weather, and I locked him out of the car. And that was a real fun thing for me because my mentor did that to me as well. Yeah. But there, on Sundays, you hear him speak about me, but I tell you that we're going to be talking about God's way is different than our way, but the eyes that God gives us is spiritual eyes. And it was my spiritual eyes that I saw his heart, Pastor Scott's heart. And it was really, truly easy to mentor him because he was all out for God. And the Bible says that, you know, we need to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. And he did that well, and he's still doing it well. So it's an honor to be here and sitting under him. How many of you appreciate him? Let him know. Yeah. Yeah. About, I was preparing this message, I had to think back. About 14 years ago, a good friend of mine started to come to church in the Hilo Church. And he came with a lot of luggage. We all know we got luggage, right? And he came with some heavy anger problems. And so we counseled him and worked with him. And seemed like he wasn't getting better. He just, you know, you would hear stories about him getting angry with people in town and all that. And people would say to me, you know, what kind of church do you have? Because so-and-so comes to your church and, you know, the way he acts is not at all like a Christian does. And so during the 14 years, I worked with him and worked with him. Well, the other day I bumped into him and he came up to me and he said, you know what, I still have those problems. And he says, I do my devotions faithfully and I just still struggle with getting angry quickly. And I was, you know, deep in this message of preparing it, and I said to him, you know, what you need to do is not look at your problem through your own eyes. You got to start looking at your problem through God's eyes. That has helped me a lot, because everything I look at, I tell you, I like to go slap people's heads, and I like, you know, I just, it's the way I look, and sometimes God's way, to me, doesn't make sense. But God says you have to turn the other cheek. And God says that you got to love your enemies. And God says that if you do these things, it will be better for you. And so I've learned in the years, and my friend is like me. He's still learning. So I don't put him down for not getting it. I try to lift him up so that he will get it. Amen? And I think that that's what we need to do. Today my whole heart is to encourage you in knowing what God's way is. But not just knowing, doing it. The greatest human factor that influences our lives is the way you and I see things. Your perspective makes a difference in your life. And people say that there are more than one way of looking at things, and that is true. There is God's way, and then there is our way. In the Bible, there are great stories that help us to understand. And one of them we're going to be reading is from the book of Numbers, where we have an example of two different scenes. God shows us by example that there are two ways to look at everything. One is his way, and the other is my way. Remember that song my uncle used to sing all the time? I did it my way. You guys remember that? I know you don't want me to sing the whole song, so I'm glad you said yes, you remember that. Yeah. My uncle did it his way. And so in Numbers, everything that we're going to look at, it shows happens in life. You're either going to look at things in your life through your eyes or through God's eyes, through his heart or through your heart. So here's the story, okay? I'm just going to kind of summarize it a little bit. Moses, that's the great leader of the Bible, has led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, Pastor Scott has talked about this story. They're at the Red Sea. The enemy's in the back. I've been to Israel, so I know there's mountains on both sides. It's like a funnel going through. They went through that funnel. They're facing the Red Sea. And now, the Red Sea is not like a vast ocean like the Pacific Ocean. You can see across of it, but many miles. It's like probably like looking from Kauai on that side of the island to Maui. That's kind of like what it looks like. And so now they're trapped. And what God does, you know the story, he opens up the Red Sea. They go through. And when the enemy comes in, they're covered up. They're safe on the other side. Okay? Now, the story before that is they've been in the desert now. I'm sorry. The story after they get through, they're now in a desert for 2 years. And they come up to this place called the Promised Land. How many of you heard of the Promised Land? Okay. So this is the Promised Land, but it's not theirs yet. And God wants them to see that this is the Promised Land. And this place at that time was called Kadesh. Everybody say that, Kadesh. Now, it's important. You might want to write that down. Kadesh is a place that you might be in or you're going to come to in your life, a Promised Land. Okay? So they're there. And then God says, you are to go in. He says, this is the way you do it. You send 12 spies in. That means one for every tribe, 12 tribe, 12 leaders. They are to go in to see this land because seeing is believing. How many of you know that? Yeah, when I'm out on the boat and Aaron tells me, Dad, one big marlin just went jump. Well, seeing is believing, you know. And so they got to go check this out. Then when they come back, they come back with two different reports, the way they saw things. 10 of them say one way, and 2 of them saw it another way. 10 of them said, we saw obstacles. Two of them said we saw opportunities. I'm going to tell you something. It really matters the way you see things. The problem with this passage is that they missed a tremendous opportunity because they did not have the right perspective. And they did not see it from God's eyes. And 10 people cost an entire nation to die in the wilderness. Why? Because they did not see with God's eyes. They saw with their own eyes. So, I told you the story, but don't believe me. Let's go look at the word, okay? Okay, so in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, and I'm gonna read that, and it's going to come up on the screen too if you didn't bring your Bibles. But after we do this, you got to go home and check it out. Because you don't know if Pastor Alec was reading another book, right? Okay, so I told you the story. We're going to read the story from the Bible that I have, and then you have to check it out. Okay. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, each one a leader among them. Remember now, 12 leaders, 12 tribes. Then I'm jumping to verse 18. And this verse gives the assignment. So you might say, wow, this is my assignment. This is my job. It says, see what the land is like and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak or whether they are a few or many. So how does that could be our assignment? When you're approaching something in life and you're going to be doing something, your job is to check it out. Got it? Got it? Good. Okay. We get them. Okay. Okay. So they're going to go and check it out. And then verse 19. And how is the land in which they live in? Is it good or bad? How are the cities in which they live? Are they open camps or with fortifications? Verse 25. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, it took them that long, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. And they show them, this is what's good, all of this kind of stuff. But, isn't that a small word, but a big word? Some Bibles, their versions say, nevertheless. So, but, or nevertheless, just one word kept them from getting into the promised land. Verse 28, but the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. You know, I just love these I can guys. Pastor Scott. I can. But the men who had gone with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. No can, guys. You know any of them? Are some of you some of them? One says can, the other one says cannot. And you know what? Both are right. Because it all depends on how you see things. Verse 32, so they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in, spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now notice three things about seeing with your own eyes. The first is, they misunderstood and underestimated what God could do. They misunderstood and underestimated what God could do. How quickly they forgot. How quickly people forget what God has done for them. They forgot. They were just freed from the strongest nation in the world, the Egyptian Empire. And now they come to this place and they're worried about a local tribe. You know, when you accept Jesus in your life, you are free from being a slave. And they forgot. And sometimes we forget. Have you noticed that the longer you look at a problem, the bigger it gets? Let me tell you something, because I know this, the whole story. 38 years later, when God finally got them into the promised land, Rahab, she said to the Israelites, did you guys know that the people here has been living in fear because of you guys? We heard what you guys did to the Egyptians. For this past 38 years, we were afraid of you. You know, the Israelites, they could have taken the people with no problem, no matter what their size was. But they forgot what God had done for them. So number one, seeing with your own eyes makes you underestimate what God can do for you. Number two, seeing with your own eyes makes you underestimate what you can do. Makes you underestimate what you can do. In verse 33, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Hey, grasshopper. What they were saying is, we can never do this. It's too big. No can. See, they not only underestimated what God could do, they underestimated what they could do. And so they said, we're like grasshoppers, and they are like giants. You know what Joshua found out when he got into the promised land? The giants were not even warriors. They didn't know how to fight. You know what else? Seeing with your own eyes allow problems to defeat you. It allows problems to defeat you. Now, this is what I want to say to you. Regardless of the problem that you are facing right now, your problem is not your problem. Your problem is the way you see your problem. It's the way you see things. Do you see it with your own eyes or do you see it with God's eyes? The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. God is in you. With God, all things are possible. Yeah. That word impossible is not in God's dictionary. And so they missed it, and the result was, number one, discouragement. Don't raise your hands. Anybody ever been discouraged? Chapter 14, verse 1, then all the congregation lift up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. You know what that is? A pity party. See, that's the result. Discouragement. And that's a natural consequence when you think, I cannot. The second result that they had from seeing with their own eyes was discontent. Verse 2, and all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in this wilderness? You see, first they mourned, then they murmured, then they started complaining. Folks, people who feel like failures are the greatest critics. I don't know if you ever sat with a group of people and you guys having good fun, talking story, yeah? And then somebody starts putting down somebody else, not in the group, but somebody else. Yeah, and they start criticizing them and talk bad about them. They are the biggest failures themselves. Because why? I'll tell you why. They don't feel good about themselves. And they don't want anybody else to succeed in life. And when these guys, the Israelites, had the opportunity and didn't take it, they immediately started to blame everybody else. Blame the leader. Blame Moses. Blame Aaron. And discontent. Blame the boss. Blame the job. Blame the wife. No, blame the husband. Blame the husband. And then the third result in seeing with their own eyes is defeat. In verse 3, why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? If you guys remember, in Egypt, they had been slaves for 400 years. Now they're saying it was much better then. You know why? It was what they were looking at. Many people would rather live in slavery, emotionally, rationally, spiritually, than risking freedom. And what is Jesus all about? Setting us free. Most of the people would rather go back and be slaves than take a risk. What had happened to these guys after? Was after 2 years, they lost their momentum and then they all died in the wilderness. I wonder how many Christians lose their momentum after being a Christian for a while. Easy to do so. Now here's the real deal. Look at verse 13. I'm sorry, chapter 13, verse 38. Caleb and Joshua, let me just kind of set you up here. They were the only two people in the whole nation who saw with God's eyes. Okay? I'm going to read it now. Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." Two I can guys. We can do it. Let's go. What does it mean to see with God's eyes? You know, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 18, the apostle Paul prays, and he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." You know, we have a song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." This is where it comes from. And he's saying, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." Now, what does that mean? Because we do not have eyes in our heart. Right? You do? No. We do not have eyes in our heart. So what does it mean? He is saying, "I want you to learn to see with God's eyes. Spiritual eyes." See, when you were born with five senses. Hear, touch, taste, smell, and feel. And everything you experience in life comes through those five feelings. But when you were born, physically, that's what you got. But when you were born again, born spiritually, when you ask Jesus into your heart, he comes into your heart, now you got a set of spiritual senses, spiritual eyes, spiritual ears. I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for a long time now. And I have my spiritual eyes and my spiritual ears. And when I'm reading God's word, I mean, you know how many times I've read the Bible in all these many years? And it's still there's something that will pop out to me. And I say, man, I read this so many times. I never saw it there. You know what's happening? Your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears. God's showing you something else. It just hits you. You know, a number of years ago, long time ago, you remember when J.F. Kennedy, how many of you remember J.F. Kennedy? You old. He's one of our presidents. But he was the one that was saying, we're going to put somebody on the moon. And then it happened. When they sent the first cosmonaut up in space, he circled the earth and he came back. And he said, I looked for God everywhere. I searched the heavens and I could not find God. I didn't see him. Therefore, there isn't a God. And all the atheists applauded and said, that's great. That proves that there is no God. 3 weeks later, John Glenn, who is a born-again Christian, went up in space, circled the earth 3 times, came back, and he said, I saw God everywhere. I felt his presence. I saw his glory. And I knew he was with me. One says he didn't see him. The other says he saw him everywhere. Who was right? Two of them are right. Because the Bible says, this scripture is not on your verse. You find it in John chapter 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You gotta have spiritual eyes to see what God is doing in the world. And you only get spiritual eyes when you are in tune with him. That is when you can see what God sees. Amen? All through Scripture, there are incident after incident of people seeing with spiritual eyes. It says God opened their eyes. My prayer for you is that God would open your eyes. Genesis chapter 13 is another story about God and Abraham. How many of you know Abraham? Yeah. He takes Abraham out, and I'm just thinking, if I was Abraham, there are times when I walk out at night from my house and I look up from my driveway and I see all the stars. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, if you don't see stars, you need to put your glasses on because they do disappear when you don't. And you get older. But I see all the stars. And that's what God did. He took Abraham out and he said, look up at the stars. And he said to him, all this, that's like the land and the people that I'm going to give to you. He said, it's going to be called the Promised Land. And he takes him on this hill and he says, look. You know what we need? I was going to say in this church, but no. What we need people to do is to see things the way God sees them. And to not see obstacles, but see opportunities. And not see problems, but see potential. And I want to challenge you to see things through God's eyes. See your marriage through God's eyes. See your family through God's eyes. See your job through God's eyes. See every decision that you make through God's eyes. And be a people of can. I can. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you, Pastor Scott.
Thank you. Wow. Every time I get to sit at his feet, I learn something. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up now. I don't know what you may be going through right now, and you may be looking at it from your point of view. It's like if you ever went surfing and you're on your belly and you're looking up at a wave, it is huge. But if you get up from God's point of view, it looks smaller. Whatever you are going through right now, whatever trial, whatever struggle, you know, try and change the vantage point. Not from your point of view, but what God sees and what is God doing in your life. And I can guarantee you, if you look at things with God's eyes, you're not going to get discouraged, because that's how the enemy works. He makes you see things through your eyes and you feel like a grasshopper, and it's like, why, it's impossible. But when you change that perspective, everything with God becomes possible. Amen? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If anybody here was thinking like, man, I want this relationship with God, but I don't know how to get it. Looking from my point of view, I can't see it. But looking at God's point of view, from God's eyes, you know, he says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, those who call upon my name shall be saved. So we're going to pray now. And if you need Jesus in your life, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we go out of the gates today, that we now have one more tool in our tool belt. That is to see things in a totally different way. That we would see things how you see things. Give us this 2020 God vision, so that when we see an obstacle, it becomes an opportunity. Give us this sight. I ask this now in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.